Hey everybody, How Did This Get Made is on tour this weekend. We are sold out pretty much across the board, but we have limited seats available for our late show in Seattle. We actually opened up a second balcony, can you believe it? And we discounted the seats because they're very high. But if you're in Seattle and you want to do a double feature, come out and see us at the 9:30 show. And there are just a handful of seats for our show in Toronto, which is at the end of the month. So head to hdtgminfo.com. We have links to the movies there that are hard to find. And also all your ticket and information needs are there. It's hdtgminfo.com. We will see you live this weekend in Berkeley and Seattle and Portland. Today's episode is brought to you by Great Moments in Weed History. That's right, Great Moments in Weed History, a podcast from Spoke Media, which delves into humanity's 10,000 plus year relationship with cannabis to discover its humor, heart, and history. Check out this really interesting podcast that, focuses on everything from Barack Obama's time in the Choom Gang to an exclusive firsthand account of the Hollyweed sign. Remember that? You can listen to our hosts, Abdullah Saeed and David Bienenstock, as they blaze joints and explore the complex and fascinating past of weed and weed culture. Hear it now in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. People, today's show is brought to you by our friends at Squarespace, where you can turn your great idea into a reality. That's right, Squarespace, the only place to make a website, in my opinion, because it's easier than ever to launch your passion project there. Whether you're showcasing your work or selling products of any kind, with beautiful templates and the ability to customize just about anything, you can easily make a beautiful website yourself. And if you do get stuck, Squarespace's 24/7 award-winning customer support is there to help. So head to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. At squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's right. Squarespace, I love it so much, I designed 3 websites on it. That's the truth, Ruth. Now on to our show.
Grab a glass of red wine, take off your pants, and log into Facebook and start diddling your stuff. Because we saw Unforgettable, and you know what that means.
Hey, everybody.
Now it's time for
and we are so excited to talk to you tonight about a Katherine Heigl classic. Unforgettable is a movie. That is true. It's an interesting movie at that. It's a movie about Katherine Heigl, who is an ex-wife who gets jealous of her ex's new girlfriend and the relationship that the new girlfriend has with her daughter, and shit gets weird. This movie is like everything you want from a Lifetime movie, but with way better acting. I love it. We are going to talk about this tonight in great detail, but first, let me introduce my co-host. Please welcome Mr. Jason Mantzoukas! What's up, jerks? How we doing, North Carolina? All right. Looking good, looking good.
Great looking crowd.
An amazing crowd. And what
I know
really
backstage,
like,
you said it was a bunch of uggos.
Jason.
And I was like, that can't be right. And I'm looking out here and I'm seeing goddamn hunks and honeys.
This is the most attractive audience that we have ever played for in North
Carolina.
Yes. Hands down.
That's right. Eat shit, Raleigh.
Jason, have you ever seen the film Unforgettable before
today? I've never seen this movie, although, you know, I feel like I have because it plays so many of the same games as other movies I've seen, but I'd not seen this. This was pretty good. This I liked quite a bit.
It goes down real smooth, this movie.
Oh, yeah, like a fine Cabernet. It really was. Like Katherine Heigl spends so much time in this movie turning herself on via coding. Via just like the trackpad is like her vagina. Every time it's an insert, it's like, oh yeah.
Well, let's break this down with our other co-host. Please welcome June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm okay. How are you, Paul?
Very good. Thank you for asking. June, I know you've seen this movie before because we saw it together in a hotel room one night. We thought this would be a fun flick to watch. This is our second time enjoying this movie.
Well, here's what I want from a hotel. Oh. I loved it so much.
Oh.
Here's what I want from a hotel movie viewing. This movie.
Yes.
This to me is like the perfect, and I always say to Paul, because he's constantly flipping around new releases, comedies, dramas, flipping
what else?
Back around.
Ding, ding, ding,
he
ding.
Searches and searches, and there's commentary about how good this one is and how he's seen that, and I should definitely see that because it's so good. And I have to tell him, I don't want it to be good. I'm not looking for that experience tonight. I'm looking for this.
Agree.
Do you know what I mean?
I agree 1,000,000%. Yeah. This is also the exact kind of movie I want on a plane.
Yes. There is something so satisfying to me about this motion picture because I love it. I love it that it's a thriller.
Yes.
I love that it's a sexy thriller.
Ooh.
I love that it's we're following people who have an outrageous amount of wealth, an irresponsible amount of wealth, and I love the houses. I love it if we're in the forest. I love it if we're in Southern California.
What about Northern?
I love it.
Because we're in Northern
California.
Right,
we're in Northern California here. I love it. I love the cars.
Well, that's where I get a little wonky. Because I'm like, okay, she's like going down to live with the rich guy. Everything's going great. And she's driving like a Ford Fiesta.
She is.
And I was like, now this doesn't work
she
for me.
She is. But she'll lose that car soon enough.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yes, she'll lose that car soon enough. But yeah, there's just something about all of that that is so appealing. I love the silk pajamas.
The caftan.
Yes, I love the wine.
The equestrian outfits.
I love the middle parts.
I would believe it if you told me that Katherine Heigl released a line of clothing concurrent to this movie.
Everything looked great on her.
Yes, she looked
amazing. She's never looked better.
Guys, she's never looked better. This is Katherine Heigl's role of a lifetime.
It truly is.
Mostly
she should have been nominated.
Mostly because she spends most of it acting against herself in a mirror.
By the way, it is such a shame this character, spoiler alert, dies because...
Agree.
Because I want sequel after sequel, sequel after sequel.
Too.
This is
Bring me in.
This is the Glenn Close Fatal Attraction role of this generation.
Yes.
And this is it. I want them to make a movie together where they are Thelma and Louise style just going bananas on people.
This movie, I mean, it's great. It starts off
so great.
The middle is great,
and then the end is the best.
I knew I was in for a good ride when the cop refers to her underwear as her delicates. I was like, done. Let's go. Let's go deeper into this journey.
But it's also the
that was a conversation that someone had offset. Like, we can't say underwear. We got to say delicates.
Is that I just feel like my guy would say panties.
It's just wonderful. The way Katherine Heigl delivers these
lines. We found
your
crotch support in his car.
Crotch support? Do you think women's underwear is supporting something?
I was taking on the role, well, the labia, but I was taking on the role of
so wait
the
a minute.
Police officer.
You think if a woman's not wearing underwear, her labia majora or minora,
okay,
light a candle,
this is a
are
big
just
going to
flop right out?
If you don't wear tight underwear, that labia's gonna drop.
Listen.
Gravity, people, look it up, okay?
I think
okay?
You think labia work like balls. I think, you know, briefs, too much, too tight.
That's what we're in.
Boxers, insane.
I don't have time to shove that in unless I have some sort of utensil.
Boxers are basically like a pair of loose-fitting shorts you wear under pants. Why?
Nope.
Why would
well,
anybody
children
be
don't
like,
wear
Bill
boxers?
Clinton is responsible for the popularity of the boxer, right?
What?
Because remember when they were like, what do you wear, boxers or briefs? He's like, boxers. And I was like, that was like
that's
right.
Your Bill Clinton impression?
Yeah. Want to hear it again?
Because it was like
wanna
sexy.
Want to hear it again?
I was into it.
Boxers.
Pretty good.
No, I feel like that was like a big thing. Like when he said that he wore boxers, everyone's like, yeah. You don't remember that as being a big thing?
No, player? I do.
But boxer briefs are great.
Boxer briefs, where it's at. You know, guys, I'm wearing a trunk right now. Don't worry about it.
I'm all about them boxer brief. All right, so Rosario Dawson. And by the way, let's just
wonderful.
Get out of the way.
Another
everyone in this movie
actress.
Is doing A-plus work. Everyone's bringing
home
their
run.
Home run.
Truly.
But I want to talk about some issues in it. First of all, where does Rosario Dawson work? She works at a place called Chapter Pad, a place for online storytelling.
Here's the thing. This a searing commentary on tech culture and the nonsense companies that grow there.
She's seemingly that they're letting her go, and then I think we find out later.
They're not
that
letting
no,
her
she's
go.
Gonna, she's going to work remotely.
But I think she was becoming an author. Was she an editor?
I believe she's an editor.
I think what they were going for, right, is that she was the chief editor of content
right.
at Chapter,
of Chapter Pad.
Pad. And that she
which
was...
is the company run by all of our very good friend Whitney Cummings.
Yes. Yes.
Who's been
who
on the
again
podcast.
Again, is doing incredible work in
great,
this movie.
Great, amazing
I
work.
I loved her character.
I saw her and I was so happy.
I thought Whitney Cummings does that character, like the best friend character, better than anyone has done the best friend character in this type of movie.
Thanks, because yes. I've done that
take
character
that.
A number of times.
Not in a thriller.
Not in a thriller. I don't know, somewhere in, I think Durham it all started to fall apart. By the end, Paul and June were taking separate cars to shows, and I don't know what was going on.
I've never done a thriller, you're right. So,
that's all I was saying.
Oh, and so, our friend Sarah Burns is in
Sarah
this
Sarah Burns
movie.
Is great.
Burns
Stephanie Escanjeda is in this movie, and
we
she's
don't have to list
great.
All the people that we know for this
We know a lot of people in this movie. So I think what they were going for was that she was editing other people's stories and that she was on a journey to really tell this new chapter of her own life, tell her own stories. And the issue I have with that is we never see her at work.
No, at one
or
point...
Or even trying to work.
Trying to work.
She's just,
wanting
you know,
to work.
She's up to midday baths.
She
and
worked.
I am, quote-unquote, here for it.
But
listen,
here,
she's also like, I'm going to actively be a good stepmom, which only... The only thing she really does is make that giant schedule, which I'm sort of like...
And she's so
proud
of herself.
That's the easiest part of parenting.
She's so proud of herself for that. She looks at it like, I fucking did it.
I took what is so simply digital and made it analog. I'm the best. But I want to just, before I get too far away from it, Chapter Pad, this movie came out in 2017, a mere 2 years ago, and it posits a world in which people are reading books via chapter on the internet. Like, what? Like, it would be a book.
By the way, if you told me right now that was a business that was hugely successful, I'd be like, okay, I guess so. I guess that's just what we're doing.
Don't you think chapter pad is sort of, was sort of like medium or that kind of website?
Oh, like I thought it was more like I subscribe and I get a 5 chapters a month of 5 different books. And
no,
then
I thought
it was a chapter, like a book by subscription. Like,
did anybody actually look up chapter pad? Is there, I bet the, did the movie... Okay, so first of all, I think we're wrong about something.
I'm gonna go down there and find out.
Yeah, get it quick.
Choose one amongst you to speak the truth. Everybody decide now, because this person speaks for you, North Carolina.
All right.
So Wattpad is an online international forum where you can post all of your writing. It's private website, so you can basically get feedback without having it be considered as being published. And so a lot of people who are trying to get feedback on their writing before they submit to agents put their stuff up there. And there is a lot of fan fiction, but because it's considered a private site, it's not technically, having copyright issues.
Got it.
They basically take literally everything from Wattpad, change the color, even the font, and they used that as their chapter pad.
Wow. That was a very good description.
It was, but...
If you're just posting work that you don't want published and you want feedback on, why would they have an editor there?
Maybe we're mistaken in that she's an editor. Maybe she's a feedback giver. Maybe she's like...
Just an internet user?
No.
She's like running forums, and she's like, you know what?
Is she like an in-house, like, here's what I think?
Because at one point, Whitney Cummings says to her, hey, you're late on that chapter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so that again brought me to the chapter.
Here's what I'll say. However much time we have left in the show, we should dedicate to understanding this. This is categorically the most important.
Well, I bring it up only because technology in this movie is hilarious to me. We'll get to her websites in just a little bit. But I want to go through each one. I have a screen grab of each one. Avril Halley, our producer, she pulled amazing screen grabs. So we will get to that. But I do think that the understanding of technology is suspect in this film.
Oh, well, so many of the things that happen in this movie could have been mitigated with simple Google searches or a modicum of internet work. Like, truly, the events of this movie could have been avoided.
And then I just want to bring up one more thing about
the movie exists almost in the 80s.
Well, that's what's so interesting. And not to interrupt, but there is a scene at the end where Rosario Dawson's character... We find out just how crazy Katherine Heigl is. And in that scene, a file is brought with different papers and official documents.
They printed out all of her Facebook communications.
Are you asking the police or Whitney?
No,
I'm talking about the
police.
No, I'm talking about the conversation that Rosario Dawson has with Whitney.
Oh, yeah, so Whitney also is printing it out.
Where are those files from?
In that scene, I can tell you. In that scene, Whitney has a throwaway line that was like, well, I guess it helps to keep a convicted hacker on payroll or on staff.
Oh, right, of course.
Whitney used someone within her company, chapter whatever, to hack... Or to do a background search on Katherine Heigl's character. So now they have access to all of her...
But a lot of those documents look like original documents?
Why do they have a hacker on payroll, which is...
I don't know what Chapter Pad is doing.
The reality...
And then can I just, one more thing about Chapter Pad. So when they give her a cake, the cake says, we'll miss you, comma, regardless. That doesn't feel like correct grammar to me.
Is that really what it says?
Yes.
It is what it says because I think what's happening, is that she's been an editor. She's going off to write her own stories. Is it that they're expecting to see Rosario Dawson's chapters on chapter pads. So that's why they keep on saying goodbye-ish.
She's saying goodbye-ish because she's not leaving the company. She's still part of the company, but she's going to be working from L.A. That's why she's leaving the physical proximity of Northern California, and so she won't be with them. That's why the rest of the movie, she talks to Whitney on the phone.
I see what you're saying.
We'll miss you regardless.
Doesn't it say we'll miss you-ish or something?
No, she says that.
Goodbye-ish.
Goodbye-ish, that's what it is.
Okay, so anyway, that's all my take on Chapter Pad. I will leave it at that.
I would like to dig in further, just for a second, on Chapter
Pad. We are running out of time.
Here's the thing. What is it?
Let's go to the audience again. And the other thing was, and I think the one thing we always like to point out here is the people behind this movie, and we can say this is simply a Steve Mnuchin and Brett Ratner joint.
It is Steve Mnuchin. When Steve Mnuchin's name came up, I was like, whoa, okay, here we go.
Secretary of the Treasury and Secretary of Grossos. Joining forces. All right, so...
That is so much to say.
And... Is it
when
sexy?
Katherine Heigl's mother shows up, I just about lost my mind. I was like, this right here, this is where it's at. I want to watch a movie of just these two going to town.
Should we play that scene of her and her mother? Because that one is a great scene. Here we go. This is just a little taste of...
A little alouette, alouette. Oh, alouette, gentil alouette. Alouette, jante, plume, très bon.
Oh, you didn't bake the scones?
They're from Colfax Cafe, Mother. Your favorite.
You're dragging your knife, and the silver needs polishing. I'll take you to see Dr. McKee. A good dermatologist is your best friend, and it is time for you to pull yourself together and get a new David, for your sake and for Lily's.
I need some time.
Time doesn't exist at your age.
Whoa!
David has moved on, and so should you.
Maybe I'll get a job.
All right.
I mean... I feel like they're like, cut, okay, let's go again, slower.
By the way...
It's the only note I'm going to give you, slower.
I also noticed there's a big jump cut there. The mother was sitting across from her and then is right next to her. I'm going to say two controversial statements. I want to see what you guys think. I think that Lily sucks, and I think that Katherine Heigl is misunderstood in this movie.
Go on. I just want to make sure
Lily,
the first
the
statement is Lily sucks. I just want to say straight out the gate, I love kids. I loved Lily.
I just feel like Lily doesn't vocalize anything. Like it takes like 2 days for her to basically say that she didn't run away. Like, you know, like Lily is, and then all of a sudden when her mom is stabbed to death, she's like, hey, Julia, what's up? Like, where was that kid the entire movie?
You know where she was? Living in a traumatic situation.
Paul.
Her life is bisected by chaos.
Paul.
Going to her dad's where it's fun and her mom's where it's some sort of prison.
Do you see what's happening between her and her mom?
Wow. Well, but she sucks. But as a result, she sucks. Oh, but hopefully her labia don't fall out. Or maybe because she sucks, you would have wanted her to. Oh, let her labia just fall right off.
I am so upset that the first thing you have to say about character development in this movie is Lily sucks?
And Katherine Heigl is misunderstood?
Like, what are you talking about?
This is a wild reading of this movie. Holy cow. I am blown away. How is she misunderstood?
Look, Julia has made a couple of mistakes. When Julia loses Lily, she runs forward. She never looks to her left and right. That kid, she picked up the phone for 2 seconds. Where did that kid go? Like, scan your area out as a circle. Go
in
a circle.
You know where
Don't
she went?
Run away from the thing.
You know where she went, Paul? to her mother who was over there going,
yeah.
Right. But she still could look. And then Lily didn't say, like, at any point, oh, no, no, my mom was there. There was no man. Lily? Sorry. You suck. And then Lily doesn't like...
Paul.
This is a hot take. So far, did you explain the t-shirt concept to these people?
Yeah.
So far, number one, Lily sucks. Is at this point, for me, the front runner for the t-shirt.
A little picture of a little innocent girl.
Who is, this movie is recent enough, is still a little girl.
I like end of the movie Lily. Post watching her mother get stabbed to death. Oh, yeah. She's cool.
I mean, I will agree with your second point.
Thank you.
Not that I think Katherine Heigl is misunderstood exactly, but I think we... Well, first of all, I did sympathize with her as a mother, and if you ever divorce me, this is exactly how I will behave. I did watch it and think, like, I understand where she's coming from. And
will you take up equestrian riding?
I understand the panic surrounding, like, having another woman... mother your children and what that must feel like. So I felt for her there.
And I also thought Julia didn't do a good job as a stepmom.
Well, first of all, why she purchased a blanket from the flea market?
It's such...
an old, used, disgusting blanket
and
for
when
a
she
child?
Does it, it's the... like, and this is what got me upset with her. I was like, that's the worst thing you could do. Like, the one thing that the kid has... like, that's safe is a blanket.
Everybody
like,
knows
hey,
that that's the comfort object for children.
Go ahead.
Hey, I've taken away the one thing that you kind of identify with and you find comfort in and replace it with this.
Here's what I'll say. I think this is the first night. Rosario Dawson should be allowed to make mistakes. And if those mistakes are the level of... oh, I'll go get the other blanket. I shouldn't have done this, and she needs to learn those lessons. I don't mind that. She shouldn't be amazing at it straight out of the gate.
Of course not. And by the way, I don't think Jeff Stultz, her husband, is also setting her up for success.
He's constantly leaving her alone.
Constantly leaving her alone.
He's putting her... he's not only putting her in an impossible position, he knows Katherine Heigl is straight crazy. Yeah.
But he doesn't. But he doesn't really. Like, he, like, at a certain point, he's like, look, I'm not taking sides. You both say crazy shit. I need to run Copperhead Brewery. You figure it out, all right?
Well, then he's a fucking moron. Because he has not only dealt with her, but he's dealt with this mother. Right? Like, he knows what's up. He knows, like, and I'm sure he doesn't know perhaps all of the deal with Katherine Heigl burned down their childhood home and, or no, the home of her father and his her father's new wife or whatever, all that stuff. Maybe he doesn't know the ins and outs that the family of their all their traumas, but he then should be, he has not prepared Julia at all, Rosario Dawson, at all for the daughter, for the ex-wife,
completely
for
reckless.
Any of it.
By the way,
there's a certain type of man I actually really resent, and I think his character portrays it. Which is a guy who's like, who's deemed as a good dad because I guess he jokes around with Lily a few times in the movie, but has actually done her such a disservice in this film and his new wife, and is like, off pursuing his creative dreams, and it seems he cannot be bothered to touch down on the reality of women's lives. Like, you can go fuck yourself. Seriously.
No, this guy operates in his family not like a father, but like a cool uncle.
Yep.
And by the way...
he's like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to make it, but you can deal with it, right? Because I've got to get this IPA out before IPAs are considered boring.
Absolutely. And if I were him at the end of this movie, if I had found out that Rosario Dawson had an abusive relationship and was the victim of domestic violence for a long time, had a restraining order out on someone, and
maybe it was one time up against a brick wall, because that was the only flashback that clearly had that one guy. Ah! Okay, just stay. We only have one wall to shoot this scene. Just stand against this brick wall, please.
If I were him, I would be asking myself, like, what kind of man have I been that this woman did not feel safe to bring this information to me?
But June, but can I just say something to that point? I agree with you wholeheartedly, but it seems like neither of them had any conversation before they've decided to move in and get married. Like he's like, oh, I didn't tell you that my ex-wife was crazy, and I didn't tell you about this, and she's like, I didn't tell you I was abused. Like, what did you connect on?
That's what I feel too.
What happened here? This is like they're acting like it's the first date, but it's but it seems so much further along.
That's what I did wonder. I was like, how long have they been dating? This feels like they've only known each other 3 months. It feels whirlwind in a way that felt that in a way I was like, oh, maybe they're purposefully making us feel that way so that they can indulge in these moments of, you know, deceit, deception, not with feeling like, because if you were really marrying someone, right, you would, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, I feel like you would, it would be a signifier of trust and intimacy, the things that they are each not participating in with each other.
Hey, Jason, can I just do something for 1 second? Sorry. June, I burnt out my family house when was 5 years old. So I just, you know.
I feel like, yes, that was like, that's funny, but don't you feel like that's kind of what you did when you revealed on air that you tried to French your mom?
I knew about that.
Only difference there is that June knew that story.
I did. That. However, we had been dating for like maybe 5 years when Paul mentions he's an only child and mentions very casually
his exes.
No, he said
my two daughters.
He was saying something about something and said, "Yeah, well, you know, my sister Jennifer worked there or said that," and I said, "Excuse me." Turns out he had a sibling that I'd never heard about. So,
you don't believe that I did have a sister named Jennifer. You thought I was making it up for quite some time. You're like, Paul, that is not true. Paul, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. It's not funny. It's not true. You don't have a sister. I did.
Hey everybody, we have to take a brief break in talking about Katherine Heigl to hear a word from our sponsors. And our sponsor is always us. No, we have great sponsors, but I want to talk about our amazing website at tpublic.com/store/hdtgm. We have a great shirt from tonight's episode. It will make no sense to you because we cut out the reference because I couldn't freely talk about what I was talking about, but it is Put Me Near the Toilet. It's me sitting on a seat that is near a bathroom. That is I love that, and you will never know why I said put me near the toilet, but that is the shirt. You can get it right now at tpublic.com/stores/hdtgm. You can check out all of our amazing tour shirts, every show a different shirt, and they are epic. You know what else is epic? Squarespace, right? Squarespace helps you turn your dreams into reality because they make it easier than ever to launch your own passion project. Whether you're looking to start a new business, showcase your work, publish content, sell products, or more, Squarespace is the tool for you. With beautiful templates created by world-class designers and the ability to customize just about anything with a few clicks, you can easily make a beautiful website yourself. Squarespace's powerful e-commerce functionality lets you sell anything online, and analytics help you grow your site in real time. Everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box, and there is nothing to patch or upgrade ever. Buying domains is simple, and you'll get all the help you need with Squarespace's 24/7 award-winning customer support. People, I'll tell you this. If I was drowning and you threw me a life jacket or you offered me a free subscription to Squarespace, I would pick the Squarespace subscription because, you know, that's the lifesaver, honestly, all right? Because it makes web design so easy. It takes the power out of the man's hands and put it in your hands. Anyway, Squarespace empowers millions of people, from designers to lawyers to artists to gamers, even restaurants and gyms. They turn great ideas into something real. Head to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. That's squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/bonkers. Use the offer code bonkers. Another great new sponsor we have on the show is Hotel Tonight. Did you know that there are tons of empty hotel rooms out there just waiting to be booked? Yes, Hotel Tonight teams up with awesome hotels all over the country to help them sell these rooms and then passes those savings on to you. It's your one-stop shopping for booking cool, top-rated hotels at incredible values. Their name is Hotel Tonight, but you can actually book in advance, perfect for planners and procrastinators alike. This summer, you can score an extra amazing deal with Hotel Tonight's daily drop feature. This is actually really great. In most cities, you can use Daily Drop to unlock a special deal at a hotel selected just for you. Once your deal is unlocked, move quickly. You only have 15 minutes to book. And if you want to swipe again, you can unlock a new deal every day. It's a great way to take even more spontaneous trip because you never know what you're going to get in this deal today. Yeah, what is it going to be? I'm going to tell you one thing. It's always going to be a great hotel. Hotel Tonight does partner with some of the best hotels. I love Hotel Tonight. It's a great kind of app if you want to, do a little staycation, or you just want to be spur of the moment. We're not spur of the moment anymore. Let's be spur of the moment. So head to HotelTonight.com, download the app to unlock your daily drop, and you never know where you might end up or who you might impress because you ended up there.
You know when it is most glaringly apparent that he is a terrible fiance to Rosario Dawson is when he says to her, "I need you to be at this dinner, the investors' dinner."
Principal
investors. And
then
she is sat at the end of the table while he is straight up fingering Katherine Heigl.
Wait a second, though. Was that her imagination? Was Katherine Heigl at that dinner?
Yes, she's one of the investors.
No, she's not.
No, Jason, that was her imagination.
That was her imagination.
There was a blonde woman. Okay.
Because remember when she gave the speech at the other?
Yes,
that was
Jason.
The first one. She was there, but she wasn't at the dinner.
She was there.
I misread that. I thought because she gave the speech at the first thing, she was part of the second thing. No. My bad. Sorry, everybody.
She was there in her mind. But there was another blonde woman.
Got it. I agree that it's not as egregious, but the fact that he begs Rosario Dawson to come to that dinner and she, as his new, to present a united front, and she is not sat next to him seemed crazy to me.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Also, they blew it. They should have had Katherine Heigl there.
By the way, Katherine Heigl should have worn a pencil thin mustache and pretended to be a French waiter at that thing. Bonjour. And sexily poured some sort of cream sauce on something.
I'm sorry to keep on talking about Katherine Heigl's performance, because Rosario Dawson is also incredible in this movie and just an angel. But Katherine Heigl, I really did feel like, wow, a role has never met an actress. The way these two are meeting each other. It was so perfect.
This is interesting. You know, they were not the original choice for the film.
No.
Yeah, the original choice, I thought this is really interesting, it was supposed to be Kate Hudson and Kerry Washington. I thought that would have been interesting too, but honestly...
I like this better.
I like this better.
Kate Hudson has like it doesn't have the sharpness that Kate that
I believe
Heigl
yeah
has.
I also want, because I know this is like a departure for Katherine Heigl, because she used to do these rom-coms and now there's like a thriller, I would like someone to edit this movie into a rom-com trailer.
Oh yeah,
take this footage and make it a rom-com,
right? And it's just called Lily Sucks.
The problem with Lily. But you know what? I'm happy about this dream of his. I don't know why I thought it was funny that his dream was to do beer. It's just like a funny idea. It's like, dad died, I quit Merrill Lynch.
Because it's such a like rich white guy.
That's like they're all doing that, babe.
Like they're all making their wines, they're making their beers, they're making their cheeses, and they're loving life.
Yeah. They're all here tonight being like, but I do craft beer. But I told my wife my dream was to quit my job and do craft beer. Oh, no.
Look,
Durham, North Carolina, I'm sure there's no craft beer here.
I am a Katherine Heigl defender, but I will say when she did that speech at the party, that was a little weird.
You think? especially after speeches were already done.
But you know what I love? This is why I loved her so much.
I wanted more of that
speech. Because she did deserve some recognition. She did.
She tricked him into getting pregnant and staying with him. He was going to divorce her early on. And she, like, you know, she, like, I mean, she got herself deeper in this relationship.
Yeah, but it also sounded like she's a Stanford grad. Like, she had a promising career ahead of her. And then she sort of set it all aside to have this baby that, yes, she forced upon him, but whatever.
I think.
And then.
I can't believe that she.
Well, you also see in the, it's true. We watched the thing, too, where she says to her mother, maybe I'll get a job. As if, like, the mother is going to be like, the fuck you will. Dude, you don't ever say that word in front of me.
I loved how crazy, she's a one crazy bitch.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved it.
And it was, here's the thing, and this is why only Katherine Heigl could do this. She starts the movie at an 11, ends the movie at a 33, and her voice never raises.
It changes. Never changes.
She should be nominated this year.
Yes!
Immediately.
She should be nominated every year.
There is a line, I think in their first interaction together at the door, where Rosario Dawson says something like, oh, I mean, obviously, I know this must be so challenging to be her mother and to watch her go. I can only imagine. And Katherine Heigl says, no, you can't. How could you?
Yes.
It took my breath away.
It was a savage flex. It was unreal. I was like, whoa. That's where she starts.
Yep.
That is what makes this movie great. Here is one fact I read about this movie that Nate Kiley put together all these great facts from the DVD commentary. And this is one. During the filming of some of the more intense scenes between Rosario Dawson and Katherine Heigl, Katherine Heigl's hair would start to stand straight up on end. And the hair department would have to come in and flatten it, which means she's acting so internally that her hair, like Play-Doh, is like, rise up. Like, that to me is amazing.
You think that
Paul,
was coming
not
from
how hair
within?
Works.
You think it was coming from within?
Where else?
Like she was pushing it
Paul.
Up?
June, does your hair raise up in intense?
No, yeah, it's called like a flyaway. Like it's
no,
yeah, there's
that's not no. They're not saying like her hair did a flyaway.
No, I can
they
tell
also
you what
aren't
happened.
Saying she looked like Yahoo Sirius in Young Einstein.
Okay,
great reference. Okay. How many people?
Solid ref.
All right, good.
Now, the thing that's happening with her hair, Paul, because I really do feel like I have to correct this because you can't will your hair.
I'm saying she acted so hard.
Every morning
her
I
hair
wake
is
up,
like, yikes.
Every morning I wake up with straight hair. And I'm like, I shave the night before, clean shaven, straight hair, and I'm like, boom, boom.
Guys, this is only the second day of the tour. Where will I go? I've already revealed too much. All right, so.
I loved that the movie exists in a world in which Katherine Heigl lives in a house in which a light is never on. Every scene is at night, and she is in the dark, illuminated only by the computer screen, where she deliciously flirts with herself, doing naughty stuff. She's like, I wonder if I could create a Facebook. Oh, drag.
Okay, let's talk about the Facebook profile she makes for Julia and also the pictures she sends. Michael
Vargas.
Varvatos. What's his name?
Vargas. Michael Varvatos. John Varvatos.
So those pictures, Paul.
Yes. Sorry, I'm getting ready to pull up some pictures.
So the sexy pics, she finds those sexy pics on
Julia's phone.
Okay, but who has taken those photos?
She has.
I'm a
no, some of them are from like far away, like
Well, no, you know when you're going to send sexy pictures to someone and you want to get a full body shot, you call a friend over?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There's such, like, full-length shots above.
There was one where they were in bed together, and that looked like she pulled her phone out to get that great candid.
There was one of her that was sexy that he might have taken, new fiance.
Yeah.
He might have taken one of her that was sexy.
Then sent it to her just as a reminder.
Hey, remember how hot you were?
Okay.
I did like that she hacked her phone, but her phone acted like a computer. Like there are all these files in the phone, and like as if she's been saving files like on her laptop. And one of the files was life ideas.
Yep.
I think
that's my phone where I keep my life ideas.
I feel like that is connected to chapter pads somehow.
And one of them was just legal. And she was like, what's this? Click. Gush.
Can we talk about the waiter, I think?
Yeah.
Oh,
that
great.
Catherine Heigl fucks in the car.
And then kicks out in the rain.
And also,
get out
like,
now.
Also, like, moves his face, like, turns his face aside. It is wild what's going on. I loved her so much.
She was so good. She was like, it was such a great illustration of, you are not a person.
Yeah.
I don't want to see what makes you you. I just want to ride this dick.
And I have to say, it was really nice to see, a man in that position. It was. There was something I was like, oh, I never get to see men that way. It was very...
Underneath, you mean? With a woman on top?
No, not that sexual position.
Wait, really? Oh, no.
I mean...
This is very standard.
What do you mean, Jason?
This is like maybe number two.
Paul?
Never saw it. Never saw it, Jason. Never
Wait,
done
what? Guys,
seen
I'm
it.
Gonna send everybody. Guys, everybody give me your emails. I'm gonna just send everybody a bunch of links. Click on them all.
I thought she was gonna...
Because the list goes up to like a whole bunch.
I thought she was gonna fuck him dead. Like, that's the energy
of
that
scene. I did too.
I would have loved it.
Like, you're like, ah! Dead. Rolling out of the car.
And I loved that the movie is, to your point about a man being in this position, the movie is genuinely not interested in him coming.
No.
The man, I believe, leaves without having come.
Well, let's take a look.
I think that's right.
Which is great. She's like, don't look at me. Don't you goddamn look at me. You're trash. I'm done. He has not said or done any.
You should go now.
And this dude guy, he lives in a world where he knows I should not even ask for like a hand job right now. I shouldn't even say like, really? I mean like,
oh, so good.
She is great.
She is so... this movie, just like, spoiler alert, is fantastic. Oh.
So she creates this website to flirt with Rosario Dawson's ex-husband, who is physically abusive to her. And then he shows up at the house. I mean, I guess we're jumping a little bit ahead, but that scene, that guy is scary. Whoever that guy is, her ex-husband. I thought that guy was, but he also seemed...
I think he's supposed to be.
I thought that maybe...
My understanding is he is meant to be like a quote-unquote bad dude.
Well, hear me out.
I think you just said that like it was controversial. Like you were about to say something like, now, this is going to sound crazy, but that guy seemed scary.
I just thought that...
In equal measure to how much Lily sucked, that guy seemed scary.
I just thought, you know, I had more hope for the... I had more hope that he kind of had seen the error of his ways and was going to maybe, like, turn over a new
leaf. Well, part of the... keep in mind, he's showing up there not to abuse her, not for anything. He believes he's been invited there for sex.
Right.
That's what Katherine Heigl has arranged. She's arranged. She's given him the address. She's said, come here, come get it, whatever. They've been sexting or whatever it is on email or text or whatever. And I think that that's why he's like, why are you acting like this? Because, you know, you told me to come here. So I don't think he's coming.
So you think he's a good guy?
I think he's...
You think he... Yeah, he had reformed.
No, I just think he is scary, but I think he is, in that instance, not coming for violence. Violence is always nearby.
I think he's an abusive person, and so despite whatever intentions he had to come there, he's still, you know, her abuser, and
absolutely,
at any moment could turn into that.
Absolutely. I guess
which
what
is
I
was... what Katherine Heigl is doing.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Purposefully provoking a response.
I guess I'm picking a dumb fight in the sense that I was like, I thought like he was supposed to come there slightly more like romantic. They've had this like sexting relationship, but he shows up and he's fucking scary. His romantic, what I may have thought that scene should have been was like, hey, how are you? But it's more like, let's fuck
now. It's also like he's already inside the house.
Yeah.
Which, again, maybe Katherine Heigl said, don't knock, come in. I want to mix it up. But he's like in the house.
He comes in hot is what I was thinking.
You thought he was hot? Wow. I mean, these are like...
Temperature-wise.
One reveal after another.
But the sex scene between her sexting, intercut with Rosario Dawson's sex scene, that's a
pretty... In the bathroom, that one?
Yeah. What do you think about that? I know that you have a thing with germs. Like, did you...
You could... Here's a no thank you. Public bathroom? No.
I thought that they were in a coat closet.
I thought they were
coat
in a bathroom.
Closet? Yes.
Yeah. I didn't think it was
I
a
would
bathroom.
Fuck in a coat closet. I would not fuck in a bathroom at all. Can you imagine?
The funny thing about that sex scene was it didn't seem easy. There was a lot of jostling. It was like, I gotta get
it. It was
this
almost
off
identical and... in blocking to the fight between Katherine Heigl and Rosario Dawson at the end. They knock over a lamp on a table. It was all the same blocking.
I loved it. I did. I love that sex scene. And I loved Katherine Heigl setting Julia up for that so masterfully over Margarita.
Yes.
It was just
perfect. That's a great scene, that scene.
Rosario Dawson is, you know, really needs to be more suspicious. She's getting played constantly in this movie.
Yeah.
And for someone who works at a chapter pad, you would think that she's reading a lot of fiction, that she would maybe see some of these signs, these tropes that she's falling into.
From people's fan fiction?
Yeah, you know, this is run-of-the-mill storytelling here.
So you think it's like the people writing fan fiction for like Hermione, Harry, and Ron.
Yes, I watch Castle. I get how it works. You gotta bring Castle along because he's the guy.
You watch Castle?
Every ep.
These are, again, who are you?
Played the video game. No, there's no video game for Castle.
Wait, but are you trying to get that started?
Yeah, man, it would be great. Just play as Castle, accompanying the cop and going, oh, if I was writing this, I'd do it a little bit like that.
Oh.
I don't like that...
Are you pitching yourself as the new Castle? Because it's off the air now.
Not
Jason,
a bad idea.
You said it. You said it. I didn't say it, but if a reboot comes around, I'll be a rook and take that castle.
That's weird because Nathan Fillion is now playing a character on The Rookie, I believe.
Yeah. I'm really just trying to make a beeline to everything he's doing. I'm rebooting everything
wow.
that he's doing. Yeah.
Firefly?
Yep. Serenity. Serenity 2. I'm going to be in a great movie. Great movie.
Nathan Fillion, Paul Scheer's coming for you.
Watch out, buddy.
He's about
watch
to get
out.
A bunch of at mentions and not understand what they're about. Hashtag not my castle. Hashtag Paul Scheer new castle. Hashtag Paul Scheer is castle? Question mark?
T-shirt number 2 right there. Paul Scheer is castle. The new castle. Something I wanted to talk about too. Oh, so this is again my whole thing about David doesn't believe Julia that she didn't push Tess down the stairs. Like, I feel like when Tess throws herself down the stairs, he seems so nonchalant about it. Like, he looks at her like...
But the problem...
You fucking pushed my ex... Oh, how many times did I tell you? Don't push my wife down the fucking stairs. Ugh. Like, that's what he has. His reaction is like that to it.
I think I would be okay if he was actually siding more with Katherine Heigl as the mother of his child. I mean, he does say it, but...
Would you like me to side
energy,
with you?
If always.
Even...
I'm not kidding. This is who I would become. I know myself. And no, I do. In all other areas of my life, I think I'm pretty regulated and have, you know, healthy, normal relationships.
Just a cool cackling laugh from Paul at that.
I am,
I think
Paul.
I know myself
I
pretty well, cackling laugh.
I do. I've done
laugh.
A lot of work on myself, and I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I feel like I can, with diplomacy and through communication, really work through a lot of complicated relationships. However, I can. I know this is like, but I can. However, I know, you know thyself. I know that, God forbid, if anything were to happen, and you may never divorce me, because if you leave, I will go with you.
I will never, I will never divorce happens. You because you're amazing. But I will say, if the temperature rises to like what the temperature is outside today, you'll turn into Katherine Heigl, right?
I don't like being warm, yeah, but I...
No, it's too humid.
It's too humid. It's too hot. Humid. It's very... It's hard not to be angry about it.
I'd love it if you guys could change that.
Yeah.
But I know myself. I do. And if I were in a position where another woman were taking care of my children, that would be a tough area for me. And this might... This...
What are you talking about? You might throw yourself down a flight of stairs just to make the other woman look bad? Would you cut your daughter's hair just so that your daughter would associate it with the other woman?
Of course not. But that's the beautiful moment at the end of the movie. And if,
a beautiful moment?
No, not that one.
Finally, my lily comment is...
It's related to it, because at the end of the movie, Katherine Heigl... She does have enough self-realization to know I do love this child, and I'm mentally unwell.
No, she and looks at a cut on her face, and she's like, fuck it, I cut my face, better die.
Yes.
I she's am like, no longer I, beautiful.
I didn't see it that way.
Now kill me.
She basically is like, my mom won't stand for this. I gotta take a knife in the heart.
That's a
knife
part
in the
of
tummy.
It. That's fucking. A part of it, but I think the bigger part of it was she knew she was repeating yet another cycle of perfection and, you know, beauty standards that
this?
No one can achieve.
How about
and
this?
She
go
didn't...
to therapy. You can still... Out. Why? She abandons her daughter? She's like, you know what? My daughter is better off without her mother?
Because
impossible.
I feel bad for Lily, okay? I feel bad for her.
You don't get to, buddy.
I think, yeah, you really don't. You don't get to speak about Lily for the rest of this podcast.
Yeah.
Let me do my impression of Julia losing Lily. Shit, David, I'm sorry. I just lost a child. Shit. That sucks.
Okay, I
I'm
did
sure
have a
someone
question.
Will find her.
Is she chipped? Did you guys chip her? Do people chip children?
I think about that all the time.
You should. So.
We should be chipping our kids, right?
Put it right in.
This is the one question I have, and I can't believe I'm going to critique Lily. I feel scared that I'm heading into anti-Lily territory, but it did seem like...
An innocent child.
I know that. But it did seem like... I mean, Lily's... How old would you put her? Six, seven?
Yeah.
Eight. Yeah, eight. So this is a...
What does that prove? That eight doesn't prove anything that seven didn't.
Well... You're eight.
Yes, she gets it.
Okay, you're at a small, they make a big point of like it's a small town, everybody knows everybody. They're at the farmer's market. She walked away. It's not like she's a two-year-old. Did anyone else feel this? Maybe it's just me. I felt like she's going to be okay.
Now, I agree.
Oh my God, there's a two-year-old that's run off.
And it's not like they're in like a dangerous area. They're in Stars Hollow, basically.
Traffic. Yes.
You know? And so I don't disagree with that. But if I flipped it around on you and said your eight-year-old wandered away from Paul's new wife for a while.
Oh, I'd go fucking nuts. I'd go fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's
right?
What I'm saying.
Yeah. But Paul's new wife was just worried because she lost her fake ID. She's 19 years old. She's like...
But you know what? She's totally cool. She's fun to drink with, and she gets it. And she's like really adult. Like, she is an adult. Like, she's a cool adult. She's 12, Isabel Kai Rice, so she'd be 10 when the movie was shooting, so I think 8 to 10 is about right. And again, why didn't they go, where did you go? Oh, my mom called me over.
Yeah.
Done. Case closed.
I'm
Castle. I solved that fucking mystery.
Nobody ever asks follow-up questions.
No one. No one asks any questions of anyone.
But yet, so good.
I mean,
near perfect.
Delicious.
Yeah.
I love it all.
Yeah. I could drink this movie all night long. Yep.
I mean, here's the other thing that I will say. The final fight scene in this movie, she's wearing a fucking caftan. Like, she's in.
Yes.
It's great. It's so, like, it seems weirdly flowy to fight in something that, like, kind of balloons out like a parachute at any given point. Like,
I also loved how everybody in the end of the movie is covered in blood. Like he gets hit in the back of the head with the fire poker and his face is all bloody. Rosario Dawson's still covered in blood.
But she cleans him up.
She starts to clean him up, yeah. He's bleeding out the back of his head. I loved that. I was like, ooh, it's like, it's also so violent in a way that I'm like, great.
But by the way,
when Katherine Heigl, Rosario Dawson like grabs the phone and is like 911, cordless phone. Katherine Heigl rips it out of the wall? The head, the stand, would that disconnect the phone?
I think so.
I guess it would. I was also like, Rosario Dawson, don't start dialing right in front of her. Run out the door.
Yeah.
Another reason why she's not a good mom. I was going to say, the other thing, too, about, like, Jeff Stoltz's character in the film, when he does, like, wake up for a second, he's like, oh, I knew it. Like, I was like, wait, he put that together too quickly. Like he's just been knocked unconscious, and he's solving mysteries over here like Castle.
You know what? This Castle thing's getting, it's too much now. I feel like you really want to make the Castle thing work, but really, Lily Sucks is much better.
What was she burning in the fireplace?
I'm assuming the clothes she killed Michael Vargas in.
But how would he like go like, oh, it was you? Like, it wasn't like you were in clothes. Like,
also wearing the ring.
Oh, well, that was a big deal, yeah.
She's wearing the ring, and I think he's just seeing insane behavior.
She's lighting a fire.
It's full of clothes.
If you came in
and found June burning clothes in the fireplace, would you not ask Castle, who did you murder?
I mean, look, Castle is about letting it all play out. I will say
June
that
June wearing a cashmere caftan at this point.
I will say I once found June hiding clothes in our closet. Remember when you stuck those up? Yeah.
Isn't that where clothes hide? I don't... I don't get it. She was hiding him on these metal racks.
Hear me out. Hear me out. June has a drawer. June
don't look drawer. In here.
June has a drawer where all of her sweaters totally hide. And she's always, and I'm always like, I know where they are. They're in that drawer. No, you can't fool me.
In that big giant safe in there. Closets where your clothes go to hide. Oh, I loved that the poker, the fireplace poker, was the main weapon.
It was like the staircase all over again.
That's a true story. Someone died.
Right here.
That's in Durham?
Guys, I make local references. Get used to it. Look it up. Do your history.
Is that why you made that reference? Because it's local?
Yeah. Bull Durham, Kevin Costner, best movie I've ever seen. All right, let's go on.
To go back to the last moment, you thought that she killed herself just because there was a scratch on her face?
Yes. I have the moment right here.
I want to watch it again.
All right, so here we go.
Go ahead. I was going to say, to be fair, right prior to this moment, she does look at a picture of Lily.
Yeah, go back to that. Go back to that.
Okay. All right, here we go. So Rosario Dawson's on the ground. She's kissing her husband who's tied up, bound and gagged. She sees blood on her face, like Superman and Superman 2.
You can stop.
It looks like she's only looking at her face.
There is now a Lily.
And that's the last moment.
Yeah. Why do you always ruin everything?
Oh. Looks at Lily. But she looked at her face longer than she looked at Lily. Like, much longer.
No, you guys.
No,
she sacrifices herself for her daughter's mental health and well-being.
I think you're right.
She should not have.
I think, of course, she should not have. But I think it was a moment where... It's also the end of the movie. I think in that moment, the other thing that's happening is she's realizing how much Julia does love both David and her child. And genuinely feels like her child is... Well, I disagree, guys. Genuinely feels like her child is better off without her. That's devastating, but I think that's what's happening.
I thought it was more like, I never want my child to see me not beautiful, so I need to kill myself.
Or
thank
she's
you,
thinking,
Durham. You get me. I'm part of you. We are connected.
Wow, because last night, you said to Charleston,
thing.
This is my hometown.
That's
this is where
said.
I should live. You get me.
Hold on. I had not met Durham yet. I, like Jeff Stoltz's character in this movie, fall in love very quickly. And... You know, I'm in, I'm out. I figured it out. Who's Charleston? I forgot about them now. I'm into Durham.
Wow, how quick you forget. How quick you forget.
Today's show is also brought to you by Away. I love Away. What's Away? Well, Away is the travel bag that once you have, you'll never be able to live without. Okay, because Away knows that everyone has a different travel style. And their carry-on is just perfection. They come in an array of colors and sizes and materials. They have this like strong, flexible polycarbonate and an anodized aluminum, which I'm not getting into the science stuff. All I know is that this bag can take a licking and keep on ticking. I mean, seriously, we treat our bags so badly, and people treat them badly when they're throwing them onto planes or you're putting them up in those storage containers. I love my Away bag. It never breaks anything inside. It keeps everything safe and secure. And if anything ever does break, they have this amazing customer service team that will arrange to have it fixed or replaced ASAP. They have a 100-day free trial on everything that Away makes. Take it on the road with you, live with it, you can travel with it. And if you don't like it, guess what? Return it. Who cares? You know what? You're not cool like me or everybody else in the show who loves their Away bags. Jason, June, and I traveled with Away bags on our entire tour. We're doing it again right now, but they will give you a full refund if you don't like it. I don't know how you won't like it. As a traveler, this has become my new favorite bag. This is not me just saying like, oh, I love this sponsor. This is me going, I live by this sponsor. I love it so much. You want to see it for yourself? See them in action. Shop everything at Away at their stores in New York, Austin, LA, San Fran, Boston, Chicago, and London. These are the bags made for travelers, and it's also great for kids. Our kids have an away bag. It just fits everything perfectly. And the thing I love about it too is it really compacts all my clothes so I can get everything in there. It's surprising how much you can hold in a carry-on. It's the first functional carry-on that I've ever really had. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/bonkers. Use the promo code bonkers during the checkout. That's awaytravel.com/bonkers. Use the promo code bonkers for $20 off a suitcase because getting away means getting more out of every trip to come. And finally, people, let's talk about your mental health. BetterHelp online counseling is helping people one call at a time. BetterHelp is this amazing app that offers licensed professional counselors who are specialized in issues such as depression, anxiety, relationships, trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, self-esteem, and more. You can connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment, and you can get help on your own time and pay at your own pace. Anything you share is confidential, and it's so convenient. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions as well as chat and text with your therapist. And if for some reason you're not happy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. I know we all talk about, yeah, I should go to therapy. Oh, I should get a therapist. Oh, I should do this. And it's so hard to find the time. But here's the thing that makes BetterHelp so smart. You can make it work around your schedule, and it's actually affordable. And our listeners get 10% off their first month with the discount code BONKERS. That's B-O-N-K-E-R-S. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/bonkers. That's betterhelp.com/bonkers. Fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched to a counselor that you will love. And like I said, everything is confidential. This is a great new way to get the help that you need that you feel may be unattainable. Maybe it's where you live. Maybe it's the time that you work. You need to take care of yourself because you are your most important commodity. And if you're not functioning at 100%, you're not going to bring 100% to anything that you do. So go to betterhelp.com/bonkers to find out how you can get better help for you. All right, now back to the show.
Let's go to the audience and see what you have to say about this. I want to hear what you have to say about Katherine Heigl's character. Do you think she killed herself because she's scarred or because she did it for the benefit of her daughter? So that will be part of this question. Who has a question? Okay, great. Let's go down here. I'm going to come up there. And somebody please help me get up to the balcony. I'll have to do that as well. All right, I'm going to come right here. You're on the aisle. That'd be great. Oh, you okay? Hey. Hi, how are you? What's your name?
Sheridan.
Sheridan, what do you think? Katherine Heigl, beauty or daughter?
I'm going beauty.
Okay, great.
But I also wanted to talk about the Chekhov's hamster in the movie.
I love it. Continue.
So, did anyone else or possibly everyone else just wait the entire movie for that thing to get like baked in a pie?
Yes, that was the rabbit. That was the Fatal Attraction bunny.
That was great. But I guess that would have been too much of a ripoff, because isn't this movie a ripoff of the Beyoncé movie?
Which isn't that just a ripoff of Fatal Attraction?
Yes, of course.
I mean, I think this is an archetype that we can just plug into.
Kind of like Castle.
I think Paul's trying to get Castle back on the air.
Very concerned.
Is this something? Is he passionate about
Castle? He's never spoken about Castle before tonight.
Hear me out.
Castle. Hear me out.
Castle with a K. All right. No K's. All right. Your name, why you think she killed herself, and your question.
Okay. My name is Meg. I think she killed herself because of beauty. Okay. My question is if anyone noticed while Rosario Dawson and Jeff Stoltz were talking about the daughter running away, there was a chess set on the table, and it was made of salt and pepper shakers.
It was what?
Made of salt and pepper shakers.
Was the game in progress? Yeah? Who was winning?
That's an odd thing to have, because would it be a dinner table conversation piece?
Who knows? Why don't you solve the mystery, Castle?
I'll take that case. All right, your name, why she killed herself, and your question.
I'm Ashton. Totally beauty. I have something to say about the beginning. Okay. What happened to the white hat? Yes! Yes!
What happened to the white hat? This is a great point.
It blew off the top of her suitcase. Blew off the top. Wait, are you saying after it blew off the car?
No, but why was that a plot point? Like, why would she keep on driving when her luggage
was very strange.
Fucking flies
I had that
off
too.
The car?
If a check bag size luggage falls off the top of your Ford Fiesta, guess what? You fucking hear it.
Yeah.
You hear a gigantic full bag fall off the roof. Nobody's like, doo-doo-doo. That's
unsafe driving. Again, bad mother.
Yep.
By the way, there's a baby up here in the mez. Thank you for bringing your baby.
What? There's a baby?
Baby.
Uh-oh.
Baby in the mez.
Baby.
Baby in the mez.
Baby in the mezzanine. All right.
Okay, ma'am, your name, why did she kill herself, and your question.
My name is Marion. She killed herself for her daughter to protect her.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Very basic question. Why is this movie called Unforgettable?
Great question. Great question.
I think Obsession was already taken.
Also Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction was...
I feel like Unforgettable does not describe any of the events of the movie,
no.
But somehow describes the movie.
Yes.
Right? It like,
yes.
It, the title, until you said it, the title made total sense to me. Of course it's called Unforgettable. Although it doesn't make any sense in the context of the plot of the film.
But it is true. I will not forget.
Yes.
What I saw.
Yeah, I love...
Never forget that I am the baby's mother, right? That's really what you're saying.
What?
Never forget that I'm the daughter, the mother of the daughter.
I see. I get it now, that I'm the baby's mother.
I am now up in the balcony.
Top shelf. Look at
everyone
those
here. Everyone in the balcony has a baby with them. One side is a bunch of people happily with the baby. The other side is a bunch of people like Katherine Heigl staring, glares at them. It's a real tense situation up here. All right, great. Let's go. There's one final question. Let me get over here. I'm going to go. Who has the worst seat? You guys have the worst seat. All right, let's see. You right here. All right. Sir, here you go. Your name, why she killed herself, your question.
Kevin, she was definitely going to go to jail. Like, she was absolutely going to go to jail.
Oh, you think, Kevin?
Yeah.
Guess what, everybody? Kevin and Castle have cracked the case.
Stop trying to castle this, Kevin.
For what, Kevin? For the murder of Michael Vargas? Do you think? God damn it, balcony, get it together.
By the way, when that cop said you can't leave the 10-mile radius, that seemed very small based on, like, well, where's the police precinct versus her house? Like, it just didn't... leave town seemed more like the right thing to say. 10 miles? She'd have to say that Hampton Inn? All right, here we go.
Stop plugging Hampton Inn.
It's a great hotel. They're an amazing sponsor.
They're not the sponsor.
I know, but I'm trying to get them to be
also,
Jason.
Plug a better inn chain.
No, it makes you feel like you're in the Hamptons. Hampton
Inn. I don't think
that's
what it is.
Only 25% of our hotels have bed bugs.
And I don't think, honestly, Jason, there's not a better inn chain to plug.
What are you talking about?
Day
La Quinta?
It, that's not an inn, though.
Red Roof Inn? Nope. All right, sir, your question.
So it's sort of like an open-ended question about the very last scene in the movie when the grandmother shows back up. Is this opening up a unforgettable cinematic universe? Are we getting sequels? Like, what happens? What's
dream
going
of
on?
Dreams.
Yes.
I mean, I want it, but I want Katherine Heigl back, too.
I would love it if Katherine Heigl came back and nobody addressed it. If she was just like, oh, yeah, I'm fucking still here. I shook it off. I walked it. I walked that carving knife in the belly off.
I would love to see a sequel with the mom and to see how that would play out.
I would love that. I would be 100% on board. I would give money to an Indiegogo campaign. Mm-hmm. to finance Unforgettable 2. Still Unforgettable.
Yep. But if it was on Kickstarter...
Or how about an Unforgettable prequel where it's the story Katherine Heigl's little girl character with the dad and the ex-wife, and it's called Unforgettable Fire. Kaboom, U2 reference. I was racing to get to the U2 joke, but I do want an Unforgettable prequel. It's a trilogy. It's the first, this is the middle... This is the Empire Strikes Back of this trilogy.
Perfect.
And then...
Well, the nice thing is I do think Katherine Heigl can play the mom when she's young.
Done. Yes! Guys, we could write this tonight. Yeah. If we all just got to work and started pitching lines and, like, just buckled down, we could write this tonight. Oh, hey, Paul.
Hi.
Oh.
I'm back. Well, it was amazing to be up there at the balcony, people. Someone stole my wallet.
They really delivered tonight.
They were great. This whole audience has been great tonight. Really great questions. Really thoughtful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why I was so surprised again that you were so negative about them backstage.
I call it as I see it. Sorry. So, ladies and gentlemen, obviously we have an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
Typing away, because I've got a lot to say. I'll say it in all caps and definitely defend this big hunk of crap till it makes sense as I write this from my parents' basement. Take it from me. I'm not wrong. This is my second opinion. Yeah,
thank you, Jed.
Wow.
Give it up for Jed.
Huge. Huge. Great
Give
work.
Give it up for Jed.
Great work.
All right, this is Second Opinions. These are five-star reviews, all called
from Amazon. How come the baby didn't sing?
What?
The baby could have sung a song.
I mean, I wish
Teach
the baby did.
Teach the goddamn baby a song. give me that baby.
These are five-star reviews called from Amazon. There are 161 total reviews. 36% are five stars. And tonight we're doing something that we don't normally do. We're going to also do a third opinion. But let's get our second opinion out of the way first. Okay, this one is from Jennifer L. She writes, "This movie makes you think twice about being in a relationship with someone who was married before." 5 stars.
Fair enough.
This one, no name attributed, is simply this. It's actually pretty good. And I left the room for a part. 5 stars.
You could. You could miss swaths of this movie and be like, yeah, I get it.
This one's disturbing. This is from RedBear32. RedBear32 writes, "My wife loves this movie so much, she has it in her tablet all the time." 5 stars. Weird. This is not a movie that you want to keep in your tablet for just a casual view, I don't think.
I don't know. I'd watch it again.
And these are now some third opinions. Third opinions are 1-star opinions. And this one is written by Coffee Joe. And Coffee Joe writes, "I'm so tired of all the sex scenes." 1 star.
Ugh.
These are all one-line reviews. I'm not cultivating one line. Every review of this movie is one line. And then this one is written by Winter Fury. "What the actual fuck was up with the coffee table full of assorted salt and pepper shakers?" 1 star.
Wow.
That person dinged the entire movie because of one piece of set deck. A couple things. We talked a little bit in the film about Fatal Attraction, and Katherine Heigl had never seen Fatal Attraction prior to doing this film, so she tried to sit with it one night, but had to stop 20 minutes in because it was too creepy to watch before bed. Her goal was not to play the same character, but to have the same impact. That's interesting.
Mission accomplished.
I guess. Yeah, she did it. Katherine Heigl also worked with the design team to define her character through wardrobe and hair, which I think...
Great job.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The taglines of this movie are pretty great. There's two. Would you like to guess on what they are?
No.
Is Lily Sucks part of it?
I wish. No.
Is it new mom? Nah, I don't know.
Okay. Go ahead. Tagline number one, for better. Tagline number two, for worse. Two distinct taglines. That wasn't one tagline, for better or for worse. For better.
And there wasn't one that just said or?
Yep. For worse.
Unforgettable or.
For better.
That's so dumb.
It's so dumb. June, the one thing I didn't talk about before we get into how much it made and everything like that is when we were watching this movie in the van ride up from another location that will remain nameless.
Charleston, you said home.
Charleston was your favorite American city.
I don't want to get into it. Durham's my new home. I'm sticking with Durham.
What, you were talking to that real estate agent in Charleston for so long last night.
I can call it off.
You can.
Yes.
Will you?
I'm gonna get a loft here in the tobacco fields, whatever that thing is. I'm gonna do it. June, there were two points in this movie where you almost threw the iPad out the window because you were frightened. She screamed as if we were going to be into a car accident.
I almost got all of us killed today.
Because we were driving.
What section?
I was driving. I had my Air Buds in, whatever those things are called.
Air Bud, the dog that plays basketball. You had two German Shepherds that play basketball.
Air Buds.
What kind of throw them and it goes right into your ear.
Okay,
everybody relax. I know I got the dog wrong, but you get the joke. You know what, Durham?
Fuck you.
Fuck you and your 20-day-old babies. I'm just kidding. I love the baby.
Jason, you're canceled.
Because I said the wrong dog?
Yep.
Oh, nuts.
What are they called? Earbuds?
AirPods.
So I had my AirPods in, and I was watching.
I just love that.
I would like an AirPod that looked like a dog holding a basketball, and that's what it looked like. The circular part is a basketball.
And they're just called AirBuds. Like sharks?
There's something about the experience of watching movies with the... What are they called again?
AirBuds.
AirPods?
AirPods.
With the AirPods in, where it feels... I don't know, so intimate.
Immersive?
So immersive. Like, I am in this room with these people.
She's seen this movie before.
I have seen it before. But there were two real scares I had. And Paul was driving, and because nobody else could see my tablet or what I was watching, I know it must have come as a complete shock to Paul, who was driving us.
The van is completely quiet.
But I screamed and went,
And that's lower than how she actually did it.
I know. I took the iPad and I just started flinging it around.
I was like, that's a new iPad. You're going to break my new iPad.
It's still playing in your ears, right?
I know, but I just wanted to get it out of my vision.
Why not just be like, stop?
There are no greater pleasures in life than seeing a horror movie with June Diane Raphael, who I remember... was one of the crappiest horror movies we've ever seen. You're like, in the theater, 8 o'clock showing, no! No! No!
Oh, This is only to be outdone by going to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal with June.
I get very scared.
Where people like run up and try and like scare you, but like it was. It's that same thing where June will be like, get in that person who's got a fake chainsaw's face and be like, no! No!
I don't like the experience of being scared like that.
Do you remember what the scene was that made you almost crash the car?
It was the first scene where she's walking through the house and you sort of see Jeff Stoltz's silhouette before we realize it's him, a silhouette walk by.
Well, it's Marco Vargas. It's not like, it wasn't his silhouette. It was like that actor walked by.
It started as like a...
Oh, I see. Okay, whatever it was.
And then you found out that Jeff Stoltz is like a shapeshifter. I didn't get into that part of the movie.
He's Mystique. I thought Mystique was... I thought J-Law was great in this.
And then at the end of the movie, if you watch the end, Magneto's like, good job, Mystique. What did you find out?
I don't watch these X-Men movies, so I don't know what you're talking about.
No one watched the last one. So, budget of this movie, $12 million.
Opening. I mean, how do you twice blow the Dark Phoenix saga?
Oh,
twice!
Twice! Bummer.
I mean, it is one of the best stories.
It's such a bummer.
Sorry, everybody.
Okay, the budget of this movie, $12 million. The opening weekend, 4.7. Domestic gross, 11.3. Did not really do it, which is surprising because it's a really good movie. And
but it was, I bet, my guess would be this movie made money.
Total, I mean, $17
million. Yeah.
And then...
It cost 12.
And yeah. And I bet this movie did a huge business on, like, iTunes.
We'll see. I mean, maybe after this episode. The top three movies of 2017 were Last Jedi, Beauty and the Beast, Wonder Woman. This movie came out 124th out of all those movies. It was beaten by, these are the films that we've done on this show, The Fate and the Furious, Lego the Batman movie. Oh, we didn't do that on this show.
I hope not.
Yeah. I don't know how that even got in here. The Return of Xander Cage, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, Geostorm! The Disaster Artist, and this movie did beat The Snowman, which we did do on this. So there it goes. It did beat one of them.
I don't remember any of those movies.
This was way better than The Snowman. Way better than The Snowman.
It's great. This movie, I think, will live on for a long time. I think you have to see it. Let's get the word out.
Like most movies.
Well, yeah.
You just have to get your eyes on it.
You do. You gotta. It is, to be clear, it is a visual medium.
Yeah. You cannot read it.
No. You could read the script. You could listen to the soundtrack. But it wouldn't be what you get from feasting your eyeballs on the sumptuousness of this film.
Durham, you have been a fantastic crowd. Oh. It has been such a pleasure to be here with you tonight. Your second opinions were amazing. Your questions are great. We have had such a great time here. So we've talked to the audience tonight, and we've decided that tonight's shirt is a picture of me with the slogan, "Put me by the toilet."
This is the deepest of deep cuts.
It is a reference to something that has happened here tonight at the live show that was cut for you, the listening home audience. So if you want to be in on this private joke, wear that shirt. Although only the people here in Durham will know the truth, and they swore they will take it to the grave.
Be honorable, Durham. Be honorable.
All right. Until next time, Durham, we will see you later.
Woo!
All right, our show is brought to you by our good friends at BetterHelp. Whatever struggles you're facing, from depression to anxiety to trauma and grief, BetterHelp can connect you with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. It's so convenient, you can schedule secure video and phone sessions, as well as chat and text with your therapist. Anything you share is completely confidential, and best of all, it's a truly affordable option. Our listeners even get 10% off their first month with the discount code Bonkers, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S. So why not get started today? Simply go to betterhelp.com/bonkers and fill out a questionnaire to get matched with a counselor that you will love today. That is betterhelp.com/bonkers. 10% off your first month when you use that discount code bonkers. People, BetterHelp is waiting. Why don't you take it?